We shall now turn to consider, as the Lord may enable us, what you will find in the portion of the Word of God read. The book of Psalm, Psalm 119. We shall read again at verse 129. Psalm 119 at verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. This particular psalm of the Word of God is very much taken up with the delight of the people of God in God's Word. The various aspects of the Word of God. And it is a psalm in which the Lord's people have an increasing delight as they grow in knowledge and grow in grace. So they find in this psalm what expresses their mind as those who are spiritually minded and those who enjoy the spiritual mind, because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the people of God have no real life and peace in their souls apart from being spiritually minded. Now, the psalmist tells us here, or I should say more correctly, the psalmist professes here to acknowledge to the Lord something that he has discovered to be true. That is a great thing, to have the mind and disposition to acknowledge to the Lord what we believe to be true, and especially to acknowledge to the Lord what we believe to be true about His Word. And that is exactly what the psalmist is doing here. And he is acknowledging to the Lord, and therefore professing before his fellows, that thy testimonies are wonderful. That is something the natural man knows nothing of. To him, the Word of God is dry, uninteresting. It may afford him on occasion some intellectual pleasure or some kind of religious pleasure, but he never attains to what is included in these words. Thy testimonies are wonderful, full of wonder. Full of wonder because these testimonies, as we shall come to notice, are revelations of him who is called the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now we're seeing in Psalm 122 how the tribes in Israel went up to Jerusalem at the feast appointed for them to go there. We are told that they went up there to the testimony of Israel. The testimony of Israel was Israel's testimony because it was given to them by God. But as they went up to Jerusalem, as they viewed the city of the great king, as a city compactly built together, as they prayed for the peace of Jerusalem, They had their eye upon the testimony. The testimony that it was inside the temple. The testimony which was the Ark of the Covenant. That place concerning which God said to Moses, there will I meet with you, and there will I commune with you from above the mercy seat. And the presence of that testimony, of that ark in the temple in Jerusalem, was not only teaching certain matters, but it was also a witness. It was a witness of the kindness and the love of God to Israel. For the word testimony does not merely include a statement that is a revelation of God and his dealings with Israel, but it is also a witness to the love and the kindness of God to Israel. And that is why the psalmist says here, thy testimonies are wonderful in themselves, and they are wonderful because they are witnesses to the loving kindness and the tender mercy of God to his Israel. Therefore, we shall notice these testimonies. Now, in viewing the testimonies at this time in the light of what I've been saying, the testimonies are like a cluster of the grapes of Eshcol, a cluster of doctrines setting forth the loving kindness of God to Israel. And that's why they are wonderful. There are things in them, yes, which are wonderful. That is true. But the most wonderful thing of all is they are a witness to God's love and kindness to his people, to his worshiping people, to the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit and who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, to the true spiritual Israel of God. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Are they wonderful to you? Are they wonderful to me? Can we join with the psalmist in what he says here? Thy testimonies are wonderful. Well, if we are of the spiritual Israel, we can do so. Then, secondly, we shall come to consider how it was. It was that the psalmist came to this frame of soul. Like others, as he was by nature, he was spiritually dead. He did not think much of the testimony of God. He might have thought something of the testimonies of men, but not the testimonies of God. It was something that took place in his spiritual experience that brought him into this frame of mind. And the key to that is to be found in the following verse. The entrance of thy words gives light, and it gives understanding unto the simple. Now that is what distinguishes the true Israel of God from those who were outside and the Israel of God, that this took place in their experience, through the testimony, and in the connection with the testimony, and in connection with the witness bound up with the testimony, they got light in their souls. And it is as a result of that light, that they can say, thy testimonies are wonderful, and I see it to be so. I see the wonder of them. And I see the wonder of them in the light that is theirs, in the light that shines from them. Just in the same way as David himself, when he was praying to worship God, to enter the temple of God, he said this, O send thy light forth with thy truth. Let them be guides to me, to bring me to thine holy hill, even where thy dwellings be, and then will I to God's altar go. Then I'll see the wonder of an altar, the wonder of a sacrifice, the wonder of grace, the wonder of mercy, the wonder of God's love to Israel. Then lastly, we shall notice this. The effect of this. The effect of this. A spiritual experience has effects. You see, there are no use people thinking that spiritual experience are mere emotions. There can be plenty of that, and there's plenty of that. In our day and generation, people think they're having spiritual experiences. But here is the practical effect, and that is this. Thy testimonies are wonderful, and therefore, doth my soul keep them. Therefore doth my soul keep them. See, no use people saying, as we remember in verse 111, thy testimonies I've taken to be my heritage for a. He says that too, yes. If he's going to take the testimonies to be his heritage for a, then this is what will happen. He will keep them. And just in other words, as the Savior himself said, if any man love me, then let him keep my commandments. If you see the wonder of the testimonies, and see the wonder that is in the testimonies, then you will value them more than your necessary food, and you will keep them. You will keep them. Let us then consider the testimonies of God, the revelation that he gives. And that revelation accompanied by a witness. And now we were singing in Psalm 31, and we may begin there, of a great wonder. And it is described in these words, thy marvelous loving kindness. Thy marvelous loving kindness. The altar and the ark of the covenant of the temple. It was a witness to the loving kindness of God to Israel. And that loving kindness, it's marvelous loving kindness. It is wondrous loving kindness. And it is revealed and made known in the doctrines of the Word of God. Now the love of God is wonderful. It is wonderful in itself. But what we are considering just now is the marvelous nature, the wonderful nature of this love and kindness, that it is love and kindness to Israel, to those who were in bondage, to those who had to say and did say, and this was a wonder to them, a great wonder to them, as a wonder they saw in connection with the revelation of the Word of God. And what wonder was that? It was this. He thought on us in our low estate. He thought on us in our low estate. For mercy hath he ever. This wonderful love. This wonderful love, because it is merciful love. It is love to those who are sinners by nature, sinners by practice, how destroying themselves by sin, adding sin to sin, and treasuring up for themselves wrath against the day of wrath. This is the testimony of God. There is such a thing in God as mercy. And that love went out from eternity to a number that no man can number. And to provide for them a Savior of which the Ark of the Covenant was a type. To provide for them a Savior. This is the testimony of God. And the witness of God to His own love. And His love of such a kind. But herein is love. Not that we love God. But that He loved us. And gave His Son. To be the propitiation for our sins. So that when they went up to Israel. Up to Jerusalem I should say. Having in view. The Ark of the Covenant. They were seeing there God's provision and the provision of God's mercy. That was the throne of mercy. That was the throne of grace. That was the throne where Jehovah made Himself known. That was the place to which they prayed. Shine forth, O thou that dost, between the cherubim abide. That was the place for which they looked for mercy. And for grace. And its being there as a testimony. It was a God's witness of His love. And His grace. And His mercy to Israel. Now the temple is over and gone. Jerusalem was the shrine. It is there now with no temple. No Ark of the Covenant. The Savior said Himself. That their house was to be left to them desolate. And so it was. But we still have in the gospel of the grace of God the great witness, the testimony of God to His love in the revelation given of the person and the work of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That He was and is and ever shall be. The Son of God became the Son of Man. And just as you had in the ark, the two elements, the element of wood and the element of gold, so you have in the person of Christ, the holy humanity and the divine nature united in His glorious person. And in connection with that glorious person, we are told in Psalm 89, with regard to this throne, justice and judgment of thy throne are made the dwelling place, and mercy accompanied with truth shall go before thy face. So that these words bring before us justice, the claim of justice against those who are loved with an everlasting love on account of their sins. And the claim of justice was that their sins deserved eternal death. But when we come to view the Ark of the Covenant and look beyond it to Him who is the great Ark of the Covenant Himself, when we come to view that, then we see justice and judgment in connection with this throne, in connection with this person, and that justice and judgment is justice satisfied because judgment was executed. Now in the tabernacle and also in the temple, that was carried out on the Day of Atonement. Instead of Israel perishing for their sins, the sacrifice was slain, And justice was satisfied because judgment was carried out against the sacrifice. And then the high priest brought the blood of the sacrifice into the most holy place, sprinkled it 7 times upon the mercy seat, and 7 times before at the mercy seat, making atonement for the sins of Israel for that year. Now when we look beyond that, we see this great wonder. This great wonder. Justice satisfied and justice executed with regard to a person who is the Lamb of God. He was the Son of God in your nature and mine. And we see justice satisfied because justice, a judgment was executed against him as he stood in the room and the place of his people. And here is a great wonder. Thy testimonies are wonderful. And here they are bound up with this revelation, this great wonder, that God spared not his own Son, but freely gave him up for the Israel of God. And in him and in his wounds, divine justice was satisfied by his death, me on the cross of Calvary. And God's marvelous love, that God's wonderful love is witnessed to by that great fact of the death of the Savior, and that God is merciful. The Lord our God is merciful, and he is gracious. And now, because this has happened, from the death of the sacrifice, and that sacrifice, let us ever remember, rose again. Mercy and truth come forth. Mercy and truth come forth. And how does that take place? Well, mercy and truth come forth from this glorious person and the death that he accomplished. Mercy comes forth in the chariot of truth to meet the soul that is drawing near. The Savior, pleading for mercy for his soul. And therefore, this is a wonderful testimony. God gives this testimony in his word, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God witnessing that there is in the Savior a salvation that is full and free, and salvation that will meet the case of every soul coming near, pleading for mercy for the sake of him who died and arose again. And this is a great wonder. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Wonderful in the nature of the salvation provided. Wonderful in the mercy flowing forth from the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, and flowing forth in the chariot of the Word of God to meet with the soul that is drawing near and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. His testimonies are wonderful. His testimony, as he says here, thy testimonies are wonderful. Is this what fills our souls with wonder? Is this what fills our souls with joy? Is this what brings peace to our souls as we view by faith the witness of God? Let none perish but him trust. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, that none perish, that him trust, that none perish, that him trust. Now these, the testimony, embraces God's witness of his loving kindness to his Israel. of his love and kindness to those who trust in the Lord for eternity, who trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, when they came up to Jerusalem, they had their eye on the testimony, but they were also keeping the feast of the Lord. They were also keeping the feast of the Lord. So that, on the one hand, you had the witness of God of his love to Israel. On the other hand, you had the witness of Israel with respect to their love to God. They gathered there at God's command for these three feasts. All the males in Israel were to appear before the Lord. And therefore, when they came up to Israel's testimony, God's testimony was primary. It was, first of all, a manifestation of God's love to Israel. But Israel, by gathering in Jerusalem and gathering to the feasts, they were manifesting their love to God. They were witnessing to their love to the God who had loved them. And therefore, this is in the testimony. This is in the testimony. Now, these feasts are over and gone. Passover, the Day of Atonement, all the other feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, all these Old Testament feasts are gone. We still have, in the New Testament church, a feast. And the one who died and who rose again is saying to his Israel, he is saying to his Israel, this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. That is to say that they have their own witness in this particular matter. True it is that in connection with the Lord's Supper, there is what we call the seal. That is, that the Savior, when he says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, and that is distributed to the communicants, that he who is the true minister of the tabernacle, he who is the true head of the table, that he is saying to all those who feed upon him by faith in that exercise, thou art mine. Thou art mine. Yes. The people of God are saying, are they not? As they sit at the Lord's table, they are professing this. They are witnessing to this fact. That Christ is their beloved. This is my friend. And this is my beloved. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. That's part of their testimony. But the testimony of Christ meets that testimony. Because he is saying in the sacrament, take, eat. This is my body. This is my body, which was broken for you. For you. Which was broken for you in order that you might be mine. In order that you might be mine. When he says to take this cup, to drink ye all of it. He is saying in effect, I drank the cup of wrath. And here is the cup now of communion and fellowship with me. But I drank the cup of wrath. So that you would be mine. So that you would be mine. And therefore, secretly, spiritually, in connection with the Lord's table, and the Savior saying, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and the soul feeding upon that by faith, that the Savior is testifying to that soul, thou art mine. That soul is feeding upon Christ. That soul is dependent upon Christ. Then Saul is saying, whom have I in the heavens high, but thee, O Lord, alone. Then Christ is saying to that soul, thou art mine. Thou art mine. And therefore you find there again, the two testimonies meeting together in the New Testament church, just as they did in the Old Testament church there. The Ark of the Covenant there, God's witness of his marvelous love and his marvelous loving kindness, his wondrous love to Israel, and the tribes gathering together. And they are witnessing to the love of God. So it is in the New Testament church. In the New Testament church. And here, gather tomorrow, who be spared and well. We have this sacrament of the Lord's body and death. The sacrament of the Lord instituted by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In which he is saying. Remember, it is he who is saying. The minister is only speaking ministerially. It's Christ that is saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood. As oft as eat this cup and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. You are witnesses that this is the death of the beloved of the church, and that it is through his death that they are in the church, and through his death that they are saved with an everlasting salvation. Well, is that not wonderful? Is that not wonderful? Thy testimonies are wonderful. See, we could get a grasp of it, an understanding of it. Be wonderful to you and me. As we take this bread, and take this wine, and take this cup, and the Savior is saying to all, but through Israel of God, to all those who are got this mind, thy testimonies are wonderful. It's wonderful. And that the word of God should say, none perish that him trust. And you are saying that. You are saying that. And the Savior is saying, thou art mine. Thou art mine. I love thee with an everlasting love. I poured out my soul on the cross for thee. I rose again from the dead for thee. I am interceding at God's right hand for thee, for thou art mine, and thou art yet to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Is that not wonderful? Thy testimonies are wonderful. They are wonderful. Now let us go on to notice this. How did the psalmist come to see the wonder of this? Not through it being explained by others. It may be explained by others, and that, after all, is the work of the minister of the gospel to do so. But something else took place. Something else took place. And it's something wonderful. It's something wonderful. And this is what took place. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Now here is part of the testimony that's wonderful. It's wonderful that there flows from the testimony light. Shine forth, O thou that dost, between the cherubim abide. Send forth thy light with thy troth. This makes the testimony wonderful. That it is from this testimony that light shines, and that light shines into the soul. And it is wonderful light. It is wonderful light. And the word of God tells you that it's wonderful light. Because the word of God says this. That those who are saying thy testimonies are wonderful. Those who are saying that. Here is a description of them. They were brought out of darkness into marvelous light. See, there it is. Wonder. Wonderful light. Marvelous light. Marvelous light. This light is marvelous in that it comes from God. And the apostle tells us that. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. But darkness covered the creation. God said, let there be light. There was light. There was light. And the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now the God of mercy. Now revealing himself as the God of grace. Shined in our hearts. Shined in our hearts. It is light in the heart. Light in the soul. A soul that's in darkness. A soul that is in gross darkness. A soul that's in the darkness of spiritual ignorance. A soul that is in the darkness of the shadow of death. And the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Now this light, God said, let there be light. It was light created by the word of God. And so it is with regard, it's a spiritual light. It is light in the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And when he says, let there be light, then there will be light. There will be light. There will be light. Now this light is marvelous light. We are told that. It is marvelous light. Thy testimonies are wonderful, and the light that flows from them is marvelous. And it is marvelous just now from one particular aspect of it. One particular aspect of it. And that is, that when this light arises in the soul, when it's brought into the soul in a way that I shall come to explain in a moment, it's brought into the soul. It is marvelous in this way. And not only does it give light to the soul, but it gives sight. You see, you need light. Yes, of course you do. To dispel your darkness. But you must remember that you are spiritually blind. And therefore you need spiritual eyesight. And that this is the marvelous thing about this light. The sun may shine, created by God, and it will not give the blind their sight. Marvelous. The sun is marvelous. It's a pleasant thing for the eye to behold the sun, yes. But not for the eye of the blind, they cannot behold the sun. But this is marvelous light in this respect, that being spiritual light, it not only gives light to the soul, but it gives sight to the soul. That's the marvel of it. That's the marvel of it. That it gives light and it gives sight to the soul. So that here is the psalmist now speaking about this. And what's he saying? And in that purest light of thine, we clearly light shall see. Here the psalmist here is saying, the entrance of thy words gives light. Yes. But it gives something else. It gives understanding to the simple. It brings into the soul a capacity to see. The Lord doth give the blind their sight. You remember how the Savior reserved that miracle to himself. Others could raise the dead, and others could perform miracles of every kind and description. But the Lord Jesus Christ reserved this miracle to himself, that the Lord will give the blind their sight. Thy testimonies are wonderful. And because it is through these testimonies that light is brought into the soul. And that light is marvelous light. Not only because of what it reveals, yes, that is true, and we've been speaking about that. But what the point we want to make just now is this, that it is marvelous. It is marvelous. It is wonderful, because it gives sight to the soul, so that in that purest light of thine, we clearly light shall see. Now, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart, not into, but in our hearts. And this is how this light comes into the heart. Through the word of God, as we find explained here, the entrance of thy words giveth light and it gives understanding to the simple. The two things. And as you know, the word entrance here means an unfolding. It's an opening. It's an opening. Well, what is being emphasized here is not so much the word of God shining into the soul, but it's the opening of the word of God, not the opening of the soul, that is spoken about here. Like that door there. If you are coming into this church, you must open that door to come in. And so, the entrance of thy word gives light means this. The soul getting a spiritual entrance into the word of God and getting light. The entrance of thy word gives light. Now we know, and that is of course an excellent example, well worth repeating, well worth studying, well worth considering, and what is more, well worth praying over. When the Savior was with the two on the way to Emmaus, how wonderful it was to them. How wonderful it was to them. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And when he opened to us the scripture, there it is, opening to them the scripture. And as he opened to them the scripture, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And there was light rising up in their souls, and in that light, by the sight given them, they were perceiving the glory of Christ. The glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and that the glory of God's mercy, and the glory of a just God and a Savior. Now, so, the Holy Spirit says, let there be light. Yes? There's the woman of Samaria, what darkness? Coming to the well at Sychar. She did not know what was going to happen then. But had she known, and she would be able to tell about it afterwards, this word was to be issued with regard to her, let there be light. And that woman's soul. And that's what happened. And she said, come see a man that told me all things whatsoever I did. All things whatsoever I did. And so it is, down through the centuries. There's a man and a woman, and they're coming to church. They've come before, yes, and before and before and before, year after year after year, secretly known to them, the purpose of God to deal with them has now arrived. Let there be light. And that soul now comes to see in the word of God what sin is, whatsoever maketh manifest this light, what their sins are, and that they are separated from God, that they are ready to perish, that they are undone for eternity. And now, what is the soul doing? He's seeking salvation. He's seeking salvation. Perhaps spending time trying to work out his own salvation, trying to improve himself, trying to make himself more commendable to God, and so on. What darkness. But let there be light. Let him see that all his righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Let him see that he is naked and exposed to the wrath and curse of God, without any covering. And let him see that what he needs is a Savior. And what he needs is, and who he needs, is the Savior of God's providing. And now he's coming to church. He's coming to the prayer meeting. He's going to the Word of God. He's praying in secret. And he's seeking for Christ. He's seeking for Christ. But he can't find him. What a painful experience it is. And every child of God here knows something of that. And coming to the house of God with a lost soul, desiring to find Christ, desiring to be united to Christ, and hearing the sermon full of Christ, full of Christ, full of the love of Christ, a manifestation of his grace and love, and they're going back out the door in the same darkness in which they came in. But there comes a time, the case of all the true Israel of God, secretly unknown to them, these words are spoken, let there be light. Let there be light, whether it be under a sermon, whether it be a passage of the Word of God, whether it be reading a sermon or a reading something in connection with Christ and his work, there is an opening up to the soul of of Christ in the Word of God. And of you, the soul now seeing in the light of God's truth the salvation that is in Christ, that salvation is full and free. And the soul feeling the drawing of the Holy Spirit according to Christ's promise, that I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. There is a drawing of the soul in this light to embrace Christ, to rest in him for time and for eternity. And where that union takes place, sin is forgiven, reconciliation to God is effected, and that soul is justified by faith, saved in the Lord, with an everlasting salvation. And what is more, that soul is saying, what a wonder. What a wonder. What a wonder that this happened. Just when I was ready to conclude, I would never find Christ. I would never find him. And here now, this light rising in my soul, setting forth Christ in all his beauty, in all his fullness, in all the merit of his blood, in all the unsearchable depths of his love to sinners. And my soul, viewing this person, cannot do anything else but embrace him. Yes, the soul that could not embrace him before, that soul now cannot do anything else but embrace Christ in the everlasting gospel. And that's a soul that's saying, thy testimonies are wonderful. Not only that Christ is wonderful, oh yes. He is the wonderful, the counselor of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And what I'm saying just now is this, that soul is saying, thy testimonies are wonderful, and that's just. Exactly. Although the two on the way to Emmaus did not use these words, that was exactly what they were saying. Did not our hearts burn within us? Because there is in this light, you see, warmth. It's not like the light of the moon, cold, but warm light, spiritual light, warm light. And so, the affections of the soul are affected some more than others. Some more than others, as they feel this drawing to Christ. and to rest in him. Thy testimonies are wonderful. And that this witness in their souls, that this is the one foundation laid in Zion in which the poor of his people will trust. Now, this is the last thing. And that is this. Thy testimonies are wonderful. They're wonderful. There's a delight in the law of God after the inner man. There is a relish in the truth. Relish in the love of God revealed in his word. And that follows. And this follows. As we have mentioned here. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Therefore doth my soul keep them. That's the key into the people of God. Walking in the light as he is in the light. Having fellowship with God and with one another. They're filled with wonder. And what the word of God has made known to them. Filled with wonder. And therefore, this is, therefore doth my soul keep them. Now that is true with regard to the Lord's Supper, which I've been mentioning, and that is part of the testimony. And let me just repeat what I said. Now, there is a twofold testimony. There is, first of all, the testimony of the soul. Sitting down with the people of God, that thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God, and that they are witnessing to this fact. They are witnessing to this fact. This is my friend and my beloved. I cannot always say that he is the beloved of my personal experience, but I can say, oh, what can you say? I can say he is the beloved of my choice. He is the beloved of the choice of my soul. For there is no beloved like him. And there is also the witness of Christ. As he says to his people, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. And therefore he is witnessing. And that is the nature and the language of Christ to his people at the table. Each one of them. Oh yes, you say, well, perhaps for the elders. And perhaps for that godly woman that's been professing a long time. Perhaps for that other person that I know is very spiritually minded and so on, but not for me. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, with regard to all those, we're feeding upon Christ, for Christ is all their salvation, we're saying in their hearts, this is my beloved. Christ is saying to that soul, thou art mine. That's the testimony of Christ. Thou art mine. And that is the seal that is in the Lord's Supper, to strengthen his people and to encourage them to go on in strength of God the Lord. And now, how wonderful, how wonderful. You see, those who are looking on tomorrow morning, they know nothing about what I'm saying just now. First of all, they know nothing about the testimony and the witness of God's people in their souls, saying humbly and meekly, my hope for eternity is that Christ is mine, and Christ is saying. And the words of institution, which re-echo down the corridors of time, in the church until he will come again. Thou art mine, and therefore, the church says, thy testimony and wonder. And because that is the says, therefore, my soul keep them. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Can the soul? I ask you the question. Can the soul that is seeing in some measure the wonders that I've been speaking of, mine eyes and light, open mine eyes that I may behold what wondrous things out of thy law, who sees and the testifies, the wonders redeeming grace. Can that soul say anything else?
But I will keep. I will keep this testimony, this due, in remembrance of me. May he bless his word. Let us call upon his name. Eternal and ever blessed one, do thou graciously bless thy word to us and give us grace to praise thy name. For thy word and the wonders revealed in thy truth, the wonders of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And oh, grant that thy people may be growing in the knowledge of them, and that they would be saying in their hearts, although they are poor and needy, yet of me the Lord a care doth take, the Lord who has done such wondrous things, and to do still greater wondrous things. And grant that our souls may therefore delight in the law of God, and delight in God himself. Delight thyself in God, he'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy ways to God commit him trust, and bring to pass shall he. Graciously pardon of many sins. Grant us grace to sing to thy praise in conclusion. For Christ's sake, amen. This Psalm, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. From verse 108. From verse 108. The freewill offerings of my mouth accept I thee beseech. And unto me thy servant, Lord, thy judgments clearly teach. But still my soul be in thy hand, thy laws I'll not forget. I err not from them, though for me the wicked snares did set. I of thy testimonies have, above all things made choice, to be my heritage for aye, for they my heart rejoice. I carefully inclined have my heart still to attend, that I thy statutes may perform always unto the end. Psalm 109 from verse 108, these verses to God's praise. The freewill offerings of my mouth accept I thee beseech. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.